Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh-day Congregation out of the Rock Island, Arizona, Texas. Today is November 3, 2017. It is Bull 15, 2021. We restored our first service today with a song entitled, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and our righteousness. I dare not trust our sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Yahshua's name. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fails His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Unless for the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. This in His righteousness alone, all must stand before the throne. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Part 7, the prophecy of Ezekiel 4. Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 114. It says that what transpires within the 390 days from 1500 with Martin Luther starting it and ending in 1890 when the General Conference caused the Adventists to reject Jones and Wagner's message that was endorsed by Ellen G. White. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, from 1500 to 1890. So the Adventist Church came into being in 1844, but they were the end results of the Reformation started by Martin Luther in 1500. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed each day for a year, Ezekiel 4, 5, and 6. For the prophecy of the fourth chapter of Ezekiel finds its fulfillment in our day. This prophecy could not possibly refer unto Israel after faith, though it deals with a period of the 430 years in about the same manner as the prophecy made unto Abraham. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Genesis 15:13. But Exodus 12:40 says, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt for 430 years. So the prophecy to Abraham was made in two sections. First being 400 years and then the 430 years. Ezekiel's prophecy is made exactly the same way in two sections, but not the same number of years in each section. Instead 400 years we have 390 years, and instead of 30 years, we have 40, making the same a total of 430 years in each case. If this prophecy had a reference unto the prophecy made unto Abraham, there should have been the same number of years in each section. But since it is not the same, it must be another period of time. Again, the prophecy of Israel after flesh is that they should sojourn and be afflicted 430 years. But this prophecy of Ezekiel says in verse 13, and Yahweh said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whether I will drive them. Therefore it is evident that this prophecy refers to another period of time and experience, and that of the experience of the Israel in Egypt, where the prophecy made unto Abraham of 430 years ended at the time that the children of Israel went out of the Egypt, which is according unto the Bible of chronology, King James Version, 1491 B.C. According unto the same chronology, the 430-year period of the children of Israel had ended 896 years before Ezekiel was even given the vision of his prophecy, and he put the prophecy in the future for the use, for he uses future tense. Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread. So it is altogether impossible for one to form a conclusion that these two prophecies deal with the same period and experience of the Israel down in Egypt. For this period, by the Ezekiel, had no reference unto Israel after flesh in the Ezekiel time. For Yahweh said, Ezekiel 4:5, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according unto the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. In this verse, Yahweh said, the 390 days, or years, are for the iniquity of the house of Israel. But in the next verse, the 40-year period has reference to Judah. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. Therefore, Israel and Judah are referred to. For the kingdom of the 12 tribes of the Israel was divided into the two divisions in their early years, namely Israel and Judah. But at the time Ezekiel had this vision, there was only one division, for the 10 tribes had been conquered and carried away in 721 B.C., 126 years before this prophecy was made. According unto the same chronology, being in the future, the prophecy then could have no reference to Israel after flesh. This 430-year period has never yet been applied unto any time or period in the past, and therefore has never been explained, just the same as many other prophecies that were never understood until they met their fulfillment. If the time of its fulfillment has come, then only shall we understand this prediction. For we begin with the fourth verse and honor. We shall later take the first three and last two verses. Israel after the flesh was a type of Israel by the promise, 144,000, as explained on the pages 64-113. For the experiences of the children of Israel in Egypt was a photograph of our denomination. Thus their experience is being reproduced in every particular with this people, and if there are 430 years connected with Israel after the flesh, then the same period of the time must be connected with the truth. For the 430-year period by Abraham did not have to do only with the ancient Israel, but with the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well. For the prophecy unto Abraham of the 430 years began with the call to come out of Ur and ended at the Mount Sinai. But this 430 years, which ended at the Mount Sinai, was a top as explained on pages 108 and 109. For the typical 430 years prophesied unto the Abraham began in the true, our time, with Martin Luther, as explained on pages 108 to 111. Therefore, both prophecies, the one to Abraham and the one to Ezekiel, refer to the same period in our time. The one unto Abraham stands as a type, but the other is a direct prophecy, and both run parallel in our time. We may suppose the 390-year period began in about 1500 A.D., when Luther found the Bible, and ended in 1890 A.D., where the 40-year period began, which would end in 1930. However, we cannot point out the exact day or month, or even the year, because, number one, we do not know the exact day of the call of Luther. Number two, prophecy deals with the Jewish or perhaps the Hebrew year. Therefore, it is a matter of months that we cannot determine. It may run until 1931 or even after. If the coincidences, as explained on chart pages 112 and 13, were not divinely designed to point out this fact, the question may be asked, why would Yahweh make a double prophecy for the same thing? Because the old prophecy, the type, only gives the details from the beginning of the third angel's message until the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. For the prophecy by the Ezekiel gives the information and the detail from the beginning of Luther's Reformation to Ezekiel 9, marking of the 144,000 and unrolling of the scroll. Not all in regard unto this matter is yet understood, nor will it be understood until the unrolling of the scroll, Volume 6, page 17. It makes it clear that there is a 430-year period from the Reformation by the Luther unto the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as we shall endeavor to prove by the Ezekiel prophecy, which we quote here. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. And it says the house of Israel is talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the 10 tribes, from 1500 to 1890. According unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear the iniquity, for I have laid upon thee the years of the iniquity. According unto the number of the days, 390 days, and so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed each day for a year. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley, and beans and lentils and millet and fishes, margin spell, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof, and thy meat of which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day, from time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, and six part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink, Ezekiel 4:4-6, 9-11. Ezekiel was commanded to lie on his left side for 390 days, during which time he was to eat and drink. After the 390 days were ended, he must turn to his right side and lie for 40 days, but during this time he must not eat. The 390 days are 390 literal years, according to the last part of Ezekiel 4:6, as we have made the application. The 390 years began with Luther and ended in 1890. Now that's the period of time when they drank and ate. During this period of time, Ezekiel was told to eat and drink while he lay on his left side. What is he told to eat? Six varieties of food, namely wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. We are not to understand these six varieties to be material food to sustain physical life, but as symbols of spiritual food, doctrines of six varieties to sustain spiritual life. Had these not been symbols of the truth, Yahweh would not have asked Ezekiel to get a specified number of shears, and that he should put them in one vessel and bake them into a certain cake, and eat them at a specified time, in a particular way, with a fixed measure of water. These six doctrines may be represented by six steps: upward, reformation, and an effort to bring a church to her state of purity. So apparently those six doctrines did their work up to 1890, and it culminated with Jones and Ryder coming with the message of righteousness by faith, and I might add the rest, in the blood of the Yeshua. And that's where they missed the boat, the messengers. They never did put that righteousness by faith in the blood of the Yeshua at the end of their statement. And had they have done that and went in search of the evidence in the Bible, they would have found it. Wheat represents the symbol of faith. The first portion of the spiritual food or truth that we were to receive, represented by the wheat, was faith. And every time I say the word faith now, you should add righteousness by faith in the blood of the Yeshua, as taught by the literature. As his doctrine was, the just shall live by their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua. For the wheat, which symbolized the doctrine Luther gave us, must be perfect in itself to make a perfect symbol of that doctrine. Note, the truth of the wheat has always been used by all generations, and everybody uses it. And it's hard to get along without. Just so, all must have the doctrine of the faith in the blood of the Yeshua. Without the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, it is impossible to please him. Who's that him? Please Yeshua. So the Bible says, not only Christians, that is, Protestants, Sunday keepers, but other religions must have faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua as well, as they must have wheat. Even the infidel and the atheist must exercise faith in whatever he may believe. We can see that inspiration used the right kind of symbol to represent the doctrine of the faith and the blood of the Yahshua. Body, symbol of the spirit. For the second portion of the food, or truth, that we were to get, was represented by the body. For the John Knox was the next man who made the second step by the teaching of the doctrine represented by the body, which was the truth of the Holy Spirit, and that was in 1543. Barley is not so commonly or widely used as wheat. In fact, few people would use it, and at that, very seldom. Many people do not know what barley is. So with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, while the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is believed by some Christians, it is not believed by others. Some do not understand what the truth of the Spirit is, even if some do not know what barley is. So the symbol representing the second doctrine is perfect, even as the first. Gideon's experience with the Midianites' dream of the barley cake overturning the tent proves the same. Read Judges 7:13-14. Beans, the symbol of grace. Beans are just as widely and commonly used by all the people and all generations, the same as wheat. For the John Wesley, the third man, 1725, on the stage of the action as a great reformer, made the third step upward by the teaching of the doctrine of grace, which was represented by the bean. All because in grace, all believe in grace, so much so that men no longer fear Yahweh and have declared his law void. He is too gracious and too merciful, they say. And as we are under grace, Yahweh will do neither good nor evil. Thus Christians these days have perverted its true meaning, even as they all love being, and have perverted the proper name by calling them pork and beans. What more fitting symbol could have been chosen to represent the doctrine of grace than the one Yahweh has selected? Lentils, type of doctrine of the baptism by the immersion. Lentils are used to represent the fourth part of the truth. For the Alexander Campbell in 1810, the Baptist minister, is credited with the making of the fourth step upward by the teaching of the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion, symbolized by the lentils. The variety of lentils representing the fourth doctrine, baptism by the immersion, is not known or used even as much as barley. So with the truth of the immersion, baptism by the immersion in the old-fashioned way is not generally practiced, even as lentils are not generally used. Again, Yahweh has used the right kind of symbol to represent this portion of the truth. Millet, symbol of the 2300 days. The fifth portion of the truth is represented by the millet, and the fifth, the reformer, was William Millet. He taught the prophecy of the Daniel 8:14, which was a doctrine of the 2300 days. Millet is scarcely known, and those who do know what it is say it is of little worth, merely a wild grass with scarcely any farming value, and not desired by anybody. Nevertheless, it is a good cereal, just so with the doctrine taught by the millet. No one has any use for it, and Seventh-day Adventists are practically the only people who teach it. Those who do not accept this doctrine say it is good for nothing, and charge Miller as being a false prophet. Though it is a wonderful prophecy and reveals a great truth, yet people will not accept it. It is good for nothing, with no spiritual value, and we have no need of it. It is a cry. Again, the question is asked, could a better symbol than millet be found to represent the doctrine of the 2300 days? Spelt the symbol of the Sabbath in a connection with the sanctuary. For the last cereal mentioned in the Ezekiel prophecy is spelt, which represents the sixth truth of the doctrine, which is the Sabbath truth, and the light as given by the Ellen G. White in the connection with the heavenly sanctuary. For the definition of the spelt parentheses, as in the margin, according to the Standard Dictionary, is as follows. A cereal intermediate between wheat and barley. It was the chief cereal of the ancient Egypt, being probably the rye of the time of the Moses, but cultivated now mainly in Switzerland, southern Germany, and northern Spain. Spelt is an ancient cereal used in the ancient Egypt in the days of Moses, and it was a rye in the days of Joseph. So is the Sabbath an ancient truth which originated in the Garden of Eden and was the last recorded act of creation. It was a truth in the days of the Moses, the first man in the Bible who instituted Sabbath keeping. Spelt is a little better known than millet, and has some farming value, but only in certain portions of the globe. Even as the Sabbath is better known than the 2300 days, would any dare say these are not all perfect symbols, or that it is only a certain man's interpretation and only an accident, or just happened and yet fit so perfectly? But thus far only one phrase has been explained. All in the one vessel. For the Yahweh said unto the prophet Ezekiel, put them in the one vessel. Ezekiel 4:9. It will now be considered as to whether he really did put all these doctrines in the one vessel. Israel believed in the doctrine he taught, but the great enemy flooded the church with deception. not with arguing the truth, no, but suggesting to the people that they now have all the truth and that they surely were right. That's hardening their hearts against more light. Soon additional truth came, but Satan had already fled the church with his agents and prejudice that was aroused against the new light. The result was that the majority turned down the truth. A few saw the light, and as the case generally is, they were voted out by the church. Nevertheless, gave birth into a new movement or denomination. Such has been the experience with the church and each advancing truth up to the line of truth up the line to our own time. In like manner, the truth represented by the body, spirit, was turned down by those who had accepted the doctrine symbolized by the weak faith. Knox believed in all the truth he had, and also all the truth Luther taught. Thus the wheat and the body were in one vessel and carried to the second step. We next have the truth symbolized by the beings, grace, and presented by the Wesley, who believed also in the truth previously taught by the Luther and Knox, which were represented by the wheat and barley. The third step was made, and the wheat, barley, and beans were in one vessel. For the fourth truth was represented by the lentils, baptism by the immersion, and taught by the Campbell, who believed in the doctrines of the Luther, Knox, and Wesley. Thus the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils were carried unto the fourth step and in one vessel. The fifth truth, the 2300, was represented by the millet, and this step upward was made by the William Miller, who believed in all the truth symbolized by the wheat, barley, beans, and lentil. The fifth step was made, and the five varieties of the food of the truth were carried in the one vessel. We now come to the last variety of cereal, spelt. Parentheses, the Sabbath, in connection with the judgment. Is it not a fact that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination believes in all these truths? The wheat, faith, barley, Holy Spirit, beans, grace, lentils, immersion, baptism by the immersion, millet, the 2300 days, Daniel 8:14, spelt, the Sabbath, that's Exodus 12, I mean, Exodus 31, 12 to 18, and also Exodus 20, and Leviticus 23. With the sanctuary truth, it will be noticed that Yahweh said, put them in one vessel. He did not say in two or more, but in one. There are no other people besides Seventh-day Adventists who believe in the 2300 days, cleansing of the sanctuary. And it is this denomination vessel which teaches all the six doctrines as represented by the six varieties of food. Thus the prophecy meets its fulfillment in our day, and we are amazed at the difficulty to comprehend the great wisdom of Yeshua our Savior, or Yahweh our Elohim, the Father. Barley cakes. Yahweh told Ezekiel, thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. Ezekiel 4:12. Why are the wheat, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt made as barley cake? Why not as wheat cake, or cake of some of the other cereals? For the truth of the Holy Spirit is represented by the barley, as explained on page 118. For this reason, Ezekiel was told to make it into barley cake, meaning the truth came by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by the aid of man. Well, I will lay bands upon thee, according to Ezekiel 4:8. We read, and behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. For the prophet was to lie on his left side 390 days. During this time, he was to eat the variety of the food. But why on the left side? Why not on the right? Because the symbol would not have been perfect had he lain on his right side while eating. The stomach of a man is shaped something like a crescent, with a narrow neck to the right as an outlet. If a man lies on his left side, the outlet is upward against gravity, and consequently would be difficult to empty itself, which would cause the food to remain within it. Had it not been for the bands Yahweh put around Ezekiel, he would have turned to his right side, thus spoiling the symbol. The meaning is that even though the great enemy tried to force out every truth by the prejudice and insinuation and casting out of the church those who were teaching these new truths as it had been in each instant in the past, yet Yahweh saw to it that every truth would remain until he has put them in one vessel, and so it is. Thou shalt drink also water. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure. The sixth part of an hymn. From time to time shalt thou drink, Ezekiel 4:11. Water, when taken, in gives life. Without it, existence would be impossible. For Yahshua, speaking unto the woman at the well, said, But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. Yahshua referred to water as a symbol of the everlasting life. For the meaning of the symbol of the drinking of the water with the barley cake is that souls were to be saved by each new truth, the spirit of the life. Meat by the weight, water by the measure. That's our next topic. Ezekiel 4:10-11. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight. Thou shalt drink also water by measure. For the measure and weight are symbols, signifying that Yahweh would only give truth by measure a little at a time. As the prophecy reads, From time to time shalt thou eat and drink, and so has Yahweh given light a little at a time as we could grasp it. It has come in its exact biblical order. Faith, Spirit, grace, baptism, time of the end, and the Sabbath. Rest. Abraham, the father of the faithful, is a symbol of the faith. Isaac, the symbol of the spirit of the truth. As the Bible says, he was born after the spirit. Jacob, the symbol of grace. For as he was a sinful man, had it not been for the grace of Yahweh, he could not have prevailed. For the Exodus movement is the symbol for the baptism. For we read in 1 Corinthians 10:2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. For the wilderness life is the symbol of the sanctuary question at the end of the 2300 days. It was in the wilderness that the heavenly sanctuary was described by the earthly. The promised land is a symbol of the Sabbath rest. In the promised land they were to rest had they driven out the heathen, but because of the national pride and disbelief, they fail to obtain the promised rest. This disobedience of Israel in the promised land is a symbol of our failing to obey Yahweh at the present time. Explanation of Ezekiel 4:12-15. Wonderful prophecy as it is, the saddest part now is to be the scripture about to be quoted has perhaps never been read publicly or reproduced in any literature, but if it was never to be studied out, read in public or published, Yahweh would never have placed it in the Bible. However, it is here, no doubt. for a purpose and must be considered. For the quotation as found in Ezekiel 4:12, 14, and 15 reads as follows, "And thou shalt bake it with the dung that cometh out of man in their sight. Then said I, O Yahweh Elohim, behold, my soul hath not been polluted. For from my youth even up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces. Now there came the abominable flesh into my mouth. And he said unto me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. For the prophet was told that he could not use wood or coal to bake the cakes upon, that he should use dung that cometh out of the man. Unto Ezekiel it was too repulsive, and he pleaded to be excused. Yahweh made an allowance, not by contortion, but for Ezekiel's sake only, by telling Ezekiel to bake it with child's dung. The 13th verse gives an explanation of the symbol as follows. Yahweh said, Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. The symbol is, every portion of truth that has come so far has been polluted, including the last one, the Sabbath. Notwithstanding, all the instruction given us, line upon line and precept upon precept, the picture tells the story. Symbols do not lie. Instead of being offended because we are told of our failings, we should only praise Yahweh that in His mercy He has made a call for the reformation, that we may not be left to perish in our sin, but are given an opportunity to choose whom we will serve. The question may be asked, how have we polluted Yahweh's truth? Only one of the many references will be quoted here. Volume 1, page 471 and 472. A great mistake has been made by some who profess the present truth by the introduction of the merchandise in the course of the series of the meeting. Ministers have stood in the desk and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, the burden of selling our publication should not rest upon the ministers who labor in the word and doctrine. Volume 8, page 250. I saw our instructor, Yahshua, pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness. Stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. And he said unto me, Can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up the defilement and rottenness of the character? How the faithful city become unhallowed? My father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness, and strength is lacking. Thus we have the proof that every truth thus far has been polluted, including the Sabbath. For the 40 days and what transpires within. Thus far the 390 years have been explained, and we shall now consider the 40 days or years. After Ezekiel had accomplished the 390 days, he was told to turn now to his right side and lie on it 40 days. Unlike the 390 days, he is not to eat anything but fast the entire 40 days, and during this period of time he must lie on his right side. As we have explained before, if one should lie on his left side, the stomach cannot empty itself, but now he must lie on his right side. This position would give his stomach a chance to empty itself. Naturally, if the stomach would empty and could not take other food, he would become hungry, a symbol of the spiritual hunger. For the symbol is that the church has been on a spiritual decline for 40 years and has had no new spiritual food to feed upon. Some may say, we have the Bible and the testimony and we feed on them. It is true, we have had them, but they have been closed to us for we did not make proper use of the truth we have had, and it is a fact that the church has had no new light upon the scriptures that were not understood 40 years ago. For the 40-year period began in 1890, according to the chart on pages 112 and 113, at which time the 390 years ended. The time has about elapsed, and now we must have food or else we shall die. And Yahweh, in His mercy, has remembered His people and is sending them an invitation to draw near for another good feast. With you, brethren, draw near for the great supper, or will you make an escape? Will you say, I have brought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it? I pray thee have me escape. Or will you answer me? Or will your answer be, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them? Or will it be that you have married a wife and therefore I cannot come? Remember that the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind from the highways and hedges will not hesitate, the house will be filled, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. See Luke 14:16-24. 7 perfect number. This is a topic, our next topic. In this prophecy we find that there are only 6 portions and only 6 steps have been made. Luther, Knox, Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and White. The number 6 is not a perfect number, for it is evident then that there is still another portion to follow and a step to climb. 7 is the perfect biblical number. The question is, why was not the 7th portion included in this prophecy? My answer would to that comment I'm making right now would be because the 4th group of laborers, once called the 9th hour, the Adventists, they were only allowed the 6 steps, the 6 grains of doctrine, to bring forth and to publish as the unfolding of prophetic truth leading up to the 5th group. The 4th group is found in Matthew 20:5, called at the 9th hour, 1844. That 4th group included Hillary Clinton, Jones and Wagner, Bunch, M. L. Andreessen, V. T. Hollis, Ben Roden, Rollis W. Johnson. And Rollis Johnson brought the end of the Adventist movement to an end in 2003, as the last of the 4th group laborers with the 6 grains of doctrine, and that's all he had. And that's the reason why Rollis Johnson didn't bring Gilead Center to perfection. He restored the whole sanctuary. He restored all 7 doctrines. He taught all 7. But he was a precursor to the real messenger, antypical Jacob, because Rollis Johnson represented antypical Esau that had the birthright to bring forth all of the 7s in our day. But because he was the firstborn, and he didn't perfect the 7. He just introduced all 7s, and everything was 7s with him, but he didn't perfect it, sanctify it, and bring it into glorification. And so because of that, he closed out the Adventist movement with only the 6 grains of doctrine. That's all he was in possession of. Because the 6 were polluted, defiled with man's preparation. Man's thoughts and plans have been injected and followed, which in Yahweh's sight are as down. It is not to be so with the 7, for it is the last. It must be pure. The last portion, pure and undefiled, is represented by the angel of Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. It is at this time that Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled, Isaiah 51:2. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captured daughter of Zion, Yahweh's pure cherry. Note the last part of the first verse. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. There has always been in the church the uncircumcised, the unclean, and unconverted. In all our history, but here the prophet declares there shall be no more. Let us give thanks unto our Elohim for this precious promise and for the revelation of his word. Zephaniah also declares, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. In Prophets and Kings, page 725, we read, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the church is the inner point of final conflict, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. It could be explained that this brings us to the opening of the seventh seal of Revelation 8:1. The church on the seventh step, under the seventh seal and in the seventh trumpet. By this we know we are on the borders of eternity. Okay. Now, I have a comment to make here. It says, it could be explained that this brings us to the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 8:1. Boris Johnson announced that in 1970. And he says that we are in the seventh step, and we are under the seventh seal, and the seventh trumpet. By this we know we are on the borders of eternity, and that's what propelled all of us at Gilead Center into the excitement of working for the kingdom, some of us, and bringing forth this 144,000, because that's what we were looking at, the perfection of all these the seven steps, and then we would see, once we did that, this would bring us all to perfection. But it didn't happen with Gilead Center, but she received that message in 1970. 1970 was a seven. We had the seventh step, we had the seventh seal, we had the seventh trumpet. We had all sevens. We had all of the 70 feast days restored, all together. That was another point Brother Johnson didn't bring out, I don't think. By this we know that we are on the borders of eternity. Well, this is why we were so excited. With the lips of any of us utter the words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, we are not saved. But how shall we attain this perfection? It will not be easy unless we make an effort. We shall never reach the mark, for the enemy is not leaving one string loose. He has interfered in all the way, in every step and every part of the truth, and his plans are stronger now than ever before. Nevertheless, prophecy has declared that the 144,000 have not bowed a knee to Baal, and in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the Son of Yahweh. At the present time, the denomination employs about 10,000 evangelical workers. But what will it be when 144,000 without Yah, spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing filled with the Spirit of Yahweh, compass the globe? Such is the beginning of the seventh step. See, Brother Johnson said, we got the seventh step starting today. The Ethiopian says, you won't have that seventh step until you see the 144,000 come forth. No wonder the prophet declared, the uncircumcised and unclean shall no more come into thee, and I shall make her a strong nation. Micah 4:7. All the prophecy of the 430 years finds its beginning with the Reformation by the Luther and others. The lesson is for this time. People at this age never before has this prophecy been understood, and until now, no one ever received much from it, but when the time is fulfilled, Yahweh makes it known. Thus has he led his people on and on, for the verses not commented on will be considered now. The siege, S-I-E-G-E. This is our next topic. Also, son of man, take thee a towel, and lay it before thee, and portray upon the city, even Yahweh, Ezekiel 4:1. For the Hebrew translation reads, engrave upon it a city, namely a Yahweh, parentheses, for the city, a symbol of the church membership. Ezekiel was told to engrave a city and call it Yahweh, and it must be engraved upon a tile. Paper or skin would not do so, for it would not be as durable as tile. If it is engraved on a tile, it cannot be erased. The thought is that the prophecy will surely come to pass, and after it once becomes history, one cannot erase the things portrayed. It is there to stay through all ages. The tile mentioned here is not manufactured. It is a natural luminar tile and quarried in large self-separated slab, which in the certain sections of that country is found in a great abundance. It is being largely or exclusively used for roofing and flooring. Ezekiel 4:2, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rounds against it, round about. Lay siege against it, that is, invade the city, the church-bound army, to compel its surrender, endeavor to obtain possession of the city, the church, and build a fort against it. A fort around a city makes it secure. So, build a fort against it means to make sure that none escape and cast a mount. The word mount in the Greek translation is rendered prohomata, meaning ramparts, which is an embankment surrounding a fort, thus making every effort and precaution to secure the city. Set the camp also against it. That is, make temporary lodging places. The thought is, make preparation to remain there until you have conquered the city. And set battering rams against it round about. Or as in the margin, chief leaders, meaning an instrument with which to blow or strike. Ram is a male sheep, which is used as a symbol of Yahweh's men. And they are to batter around about until the city is taken. The instrument which they batter with is a clear-cutting and convincing Bible truth. The city, Yahweh, is Yahweh's church, namely the Seventh-day Adventist, parentheses, Israel. Okay, let's do it again. For the city, parentheses, Jerusalem, is Yahweh's congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist, which is parentheses, is called the spiritual Israel. Yahweh himself organized his church by a prophet, and there is a great deal of difference between this church and the churches during the Reformation from Luther's time onward. Yahweh permitted his people to be voted out of the church by the majority in the times past, and they were compelled to start another movement until the next step they were to make, and so on. In this case, Yahweh is to deal with the entire body. Those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are done, and the church will be sealed by the man with the writer's ink on. Those who are determined to do evil, that is, do contrary unto the rules laid down by the Spirit of Yahweh, through the testimony, for the church will be destroyed by the five men with the slaughter weapons of Ezekiel 9. None can escape, for the city is besieged, fortified, and made sure. It is a fact that in every age where Yahweh demonstrated his truth and purpose in the clear lines after being rejected, that people suffered the vengeance of the all-powerful and great Yahweh. For instance, the antediluvian cities of Sodom, Egypt, Canaanites, Babylon, and ancient Jerusalem. Separation and the principle. That's the name of our next topic. Separation and the principle. Moreover, take thou also unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. Thou shalt lay siege against it. Thou shalt be a sign to the house of Israel. Ezekiel 4:3. Take thou an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. 7 day heaven is sure. But who is this man that's to do this? Brother Joshua didn't do that. Elijah David did it. And when did Elijah David start laying siege against the city? In 1970. Inadvertently, that's when the siege was laid against the city. But did Brother Johnson say after 32 years? Well, the devil sent him in there to be a thorn in our side. Well, he vexed our church for 32 years. So what was happening there? I didn't see it that right, but he saw it that right. And he felt it that right. Because Antipas Ezekiel, the son of man, was laying siege against the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, starting in 1970. A symbol of an impregnable separation between the two classes. This does not mean that they do not see or speak to one another, but a separation in principle, rule or God, and set thy face against it. As a general of armies sets his face against another nation with the intent to conquer, this shall be a sign to the house of Israel. The sign is to those who are martyrs here, namely the 144,000, for they are Israel the true. Now I have a comment to make here. When I joined Brother W. Johnson, I didn't think of him as a Seventh-day Adventist. I thought of him as the church, the Shepherd's Rod Church that succeeded the Seventh-day Adventist. That's the way I looked upon him. And so, but because he had come out of the Adventist Church, then I said, well, he's got a message for the Adventist Church. And so I says, in that case, I'm going to take this message and go back to the Adventist Church. And that's what I did. And I mean, I bombarded them for 10 years. I laid siege against them for 10 solid years. I didn't give them no room to come for error. I just kept on top of them. But from 1970 to 1980. Okay, and so that was the beginning of this Ezekiel's fourth prophecy for the Adventist Church today, the Jerusalem of today. It was 1970, when Elijah David was sent by the Spirit to go and join Willis W. Johnson. And so there you have it. So, actually, we're at the close of our study this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. And let the heavenly light shine through of Elijah David. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yah if He hadn't created you. And you would not have known about His vast creation and all that He can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah in His mercy when you come, He's gonna have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke the word, all creation heard, and the world started spinning around. Yeah, He spoke the word, and a light appeared, He divided it from the light. And Yah saw that His work was good, created by His mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. Yah will bless you when you come, and we'll have a heavenly home for you. For you climb up on a mountain and you look around, there's a sunshine and the blow. There's a peaceful river that flows. There the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all the heaven has been. And I think that this is just an answer with the rain. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. In the arm of the thirsty when you come, and in the light of heavenly home for you. And the arm of his mercy when you come, and in the light of heavenly home for you.